Macmillan Digital Audio and Belinda present this unabridged recording of
The Stranger from the Sea by Winston Graham, read by Oliver J. Hembra. They had supped off cold food, and the night was quiet, except for the scraping of the cicadas and the soughing of the wind. Once or twice, the keening of the pipes grew out of the dark, a dree sound, mourning as if for the slaughter on the morrow, yet quietly stirring, both a lament and an incitement. Down below in the plain, the roll of drums sounded. It was as if the French were making no secret of their power, the power that had decimated all the other armies of Europe, so that the knowledge might seep into the minds and hearts of their opponents and sap their courage before dawn broke. The English knew there would be a battle tomorrow, for Wellington had said that this was as far as they would retreat, and what Wellington said, he always meant. But the French could not know whether the army encamped on the slopes above them might not have done the wise thing and slipped away before morning, leaving no more than a rear guard to delay their advance. It had happened often enough in the last few years. The British victory at Talavera last year was the exception, not the pattern. It was near midnight when they had finished eating, and as a soldier led Ross through the lines, many men were already asleep, or at least they were lying down wrapped in their cloaks. They were all, it seemed, fully clad. No one bothered to take greater ease knowing the day ahead. Groups lay on elbows or squatted, quietly talking. MacNeil had mentioned Agincourt, and Ross remembered the play he had seen at Drury Lane, in which the king went round visiting his soldiers on the night before the battle. Remarkable that this Scottish soldier should be able to quote a line or two. There had been a Cornishman, Ross remembered, in that play. No. The king had been mistaken for one by calling himself Leroy. Did Shakespeare suppose that was a Cornish name? It was more than half a mile, and Ross was limping by the end of it. He rode a horse longer than he walked these days. Then it was an asking and a questing, a seeking among dark and sprawling figures. The thumb jerked, the finger pointed. Ross's escort moved like a small Scottish ferret from group to group. At last, a man sat up and said,
"Yes, I'm Poldark. Who wants me?"
"One of your own blood," said Ross. "Who else?"